Good morning. My name is Kristen, and I will be your conference operator today. Welcome to the Luxfer second quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. I would now like to turn the conference over to Dan Straisner from Luxfer Investor Relations. Dan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Kristen, and welcome everyone to Luxfer's second quarter conference call. With me today are Alok Maskara, our Chief Executive Officer, and Andy Beeden, our Group Financial Director. First, Alok will provide an overview of the quarter, followed by Andy's review of financial performance. Alok will then return to sum up and offer an outlook. Today's webcast is accompanied by a slide presentation, which can be found in the investor section of Luxfer's website. We'll refer to these slides throughout our prepared remarks. Any references to non-GAAP financials are reconciled in the appendix of the presentation. Before we begin, please let me remind you that any forward-looking statements made about the company's anticipated financial results are subject to future risks and uncertainties. Please refer to slide two of today's presentation for further details. After our prepared remarks, we have reserved time for questions and answers. We'll now turn the call over to Alok Maskara. Alok, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Luxfer conference call for the second quarter of 2017. Given that this is my first earnings call after becoming the CEO on July 1st, I will start on slide three with a brief introduction. I joined Luxfer at the end of May and officially took over as the CEO from Brian Pervaiz on July 1st. Brian is retiring from the company next month after 15 years as CEO. Please join me in wishing Brian all the best in his retirement. As for myself, prior to joining Luxfer, I was with Pentair for over 8 years. While at Pentair, I led multiple business units of progressively larger scope and size. I had joined Pentair when a GE business unit that I was leading was contributed into a joint venture with Pentair. Earlier at General Electric, I was part of a corporate team that drove lean implementation across the company. Prior to GE, I spent 4 years at McKinsey & Company in the Chicago and Amsterdam offices. I am a chemical engineer. I obtained my bachelor's in engineering from IIT Mumbai, master's in chemical engineering from the University of New Mexico, and an MBA from the Kellogg School of Business at Northwestern University. Now, let's turn to slide four for a summary of Luxfer's second quarter results. For the second quarter ending on June 30th, our adjusted fully diluted EPS of $0.25 is $0.04 below last year. However, we are optimistic that improvements in order rates and an increased focus on cost reduction will drive recovery in the second half of this year. Our reported EPS of $0.09 was significantly impacted by a non-cash write-down of an alternative fuel investment driven by the depressed state of that market. Going into the second half of 2017, our order backlog is higher compared to last year, and we are taking additional cost actions across the group. This underpins our guidance for the full year, with 2017 full-year adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS expected to be 10% higher than prior year. Now, please turn to slide five for an overview of group's financial performance. Total revenue for the second quarter of 2017 was $106.6 million, which is 3% lower compared to $110 million in the second quarter of 2016, but 3% higher compared to $103.4 million in the first quarter this year. The FX impact on group's revenue in the second quarter was negligible. Our total order backlog at the end of June was 5% higher, driven by a 14% rise in the order backlog for Electron and a 4% decline in the order backlog for cylinders. Trading profit for the second quarter of 2017 was $10.1 million compared to $11 million in the second quarter of 2016. We did benefit from exchange rates over last year as unfavorable currency hedges continued to wind down. However, issues with productivity and volume declines caused trading profit to be lower in the quarter. Productivity challenges were limited to a couple of our sites, and we are aggressively tackling the root causes of these challenges using well-established lean manufacturing principles. We have also initiated an aggressive cost reduction program. Now, please turn to slide 6 for an overview of gas cylinders performance. Cylinders revenue for the second quarter of 2017 was $4.5 million lower than last year. The decline was driven by a negative FX impact of $0.8 million and a volume decline of $3.7 million. Shipments of SCBA cylinders in North America were lower than last year as customers are experiencing a lower level of demand. Alternative fuel sales were also weaker in this quarter as that market is not showing any signs of improvement. However, there was a pickup in the European medical sector where the sales of our advanced L7X range of cylinder is now higher than in the second quarter of 2016. Superform revenues and margins were lower while we tool up for new production for Ferrari and other high-end automotive OEMs. Startup challenges and customer-driven project delays impacted our first half performance at Superform. However, our order pipeline at Superform remains robust, and we are driving additional actions to recover productivity. Trading profit at gas cylinders was only marginally lower versus last year, as FX and productivity actions offset the impact of volume decline. Now, please turn to slide 7 for an overview of the Electron segment's performance. Electron's reported revenue for the second quarter of $50.6 million was flat compared to the prior year, as a small positive impact of FX was offset by volume decline. Solumag sales continued to grow, and encouragingly, the recovery in sales of flameless ration heaters also continued. Aerospace and defense orders were lower in the quarter, but new orders for chemical detection kits and for aircraft decoy flares were received in the quarter. Catalysis sales were lower in the quarter, influenced by continued decline in shipments for automotive applications. However, the order backlog is higher, with more shipments scheduled for the second half of 2017. Now, please turn to slide 8 for an update on our growth opportunities. For energy and industrial applications, sales of our Solumag products into the oil and gas market continue to grow and exceed expectations. In addition, we are making solid progress towards increasing the penetration of our graphic arts and gas cylinder products into fast-growth regions such as the Middle East and India. For medical and healthcare applications, sales of our new L7X alloy medical cylinders showed significant year-over-year growth. Also, we continue to make progress in surgical usage of cardiovascular stents made from our patented Synermag alloy. For aviation and automotive applications, the new Superform Technology Center in the UK has initiated production, and we expect productivity and volume to improve in the second half. Also, while our revenue from automotive catalysis was lower, we are making good progress in our patent infringement legal case against a competitor, and we expect orders to grow in the second half of the year. Thank you. Andy Beeden will now take you through more details on the Q2 financial results. Andy, go ahead.
Thank you, Alok, and welcome everyone to the call. Turn to the summary of the key income statement metrics on slide 9. As previously noted, revenue and trading profit have fallen based on Q2 2016. However, they still represent a continued recovery on Q3 and Q4 of last year. Adjusted EBITDA at $15.2 million, though reduced on Q2 2016, is at the run rate that we need to hit our full year guidance. In the quarter, there were a number of exceptional items. As Alok noted earlier, we have further impaired the investments in the alternative fuel business. Furthermore, we have incurred restructuring costs within both divisions and continue to incur expenditure on the ongoing patent infringement litigation against a competitor. All these charges in total amounted to $3.3 million, though two-thirds of this was non-cash related. Statutory IFRS net income for Q2 2017 was a net profit of $2.5 million, compared to $6.7 million for Q2 2016. Adjusted to the exceptional items and excluding the IAS 19 pension finance cost, Q2 2017 was an underlying net profit of $6.6 million, compared to $7.9 million for Q2 2016. Adjusted diluted EPS was therefore $0.25 for Q2 2017, compared to $0.29 for Q2 2016, providing dividend cover of 2x for the quarter. Slide 10, which is key balance sheet and cash flow metrics. Detailed slides of the balance sheet and cash flow can be found in the appendices. Key points on slide 10 are as follows. Net debt, which is debt minus cash, was $103.4 million, a $4 million reduction over the year-end 2016 position of $107.4 million, though slightly higher than a year ago. Our trading working capital balance has increased to $99.7 million, higher than both Q2 and the year-end positions in 2016, but we remain focused on reducing working capital both in the back half of 2017 and also longer term. Our adjusted return on invested capital was back into double figures at 11% after the weakness in Q4 2016. We had a strong second quarter on cash, with operating cash flow of positive $9.7 million versus $9.6 million for Q2 2016. Net cash flow before financing was $7.5 million, well up on the $5 million for Q2 2016. This was helped by tight control over capital expenditure and also cash inflows received from our JVs. With the LTM EBITDA at $52.7 million, our net debt to EBITDA ratio was just at 2x. But we believe with strong controls over cash and maintaining this level of EBITDA into the second half of 2017, the ratio will start to fall back below 2x. Slide 11, which is on renewal of our banking facilities. On July the 31st, we successfully completed an extension to our unsecured senior facilities agreement, which provides $150 million in committed debt facilities in the form of a multi-currency revolving credit facility, and an additional $50 million of uncommitted facilities through an accordion clause. Our senior facilities agreement was due to mature in April 2019 and has now been extended until the end of July 2022. Interest rates have been reduced for non-utilization fees and drawings over adjusted EBITDA to net debt of 2x, with savings expected to be $0.3 to $0.4 million per annum. The terms are similar with the current arrangement, with the slightly lower fees and interest margins. The deal provides a strong financial foundation for the next few years and introduces Luxfer to two new large international banks, being Citigroup and HSBC, who are keen to support our long-term growth plans, along with RBS, Lloyds and Clydesdale Yorkshire Bank. Thank you. I'll now hand you back to Alok to sum up.
Thank you, Andy. Please turn to slide 12 for a summary. While our sales improved sequentially, the first half of 2017 was still weaker than last year. In addition, being 2 cents lower in EPS than the consensus estimate this quarter is disappointing. However, our order backlog is stronger, and we are taking additional steps to make the 2017 results more robust through a combination of aggressive cost actions and sales activity. Increasingly, the weaker pound sterling against the euro is improving the profitability of our exports into mainland Europe as unfavorable currency hedges continue to wind down. We expect second half of this year to be significantly stronger than second half of last year. Hence, we are maintaining our prior guidance of 10% improvement in adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS for full year 2017. Thank you, and we will now take questions.
To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the number 1 on your touchtone phone. If your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Lastly, we request that you initially ask only one question. After you've heard the answer, we will give you the opportunity for a follow-up question. If you would like to ask additional questions, our operator will be glad to place you back in the line. Thank you for your cooperation. Our first question comes from Julian Mitchell with Credit Suisse.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to Luxfer. Just really quickly on the cadence of FX tailwinds that you're about to see in Electron, mostly in Electron, do you see a sequential step up through the back half of the year? And if so, could you kind of just try and quantify the amount that we should be seeing there?
Julian. Andy here.
Go ahead, Andy.
So following our guidance for the full year, we're on track for that, and I would estimate between $1.5 and $2 million for the second half of the year. We're obviously hitting $1 million a quarter, but when you get to the Q4, we are starting to overlap ourselves from last year.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Phil Gibbs with KeyBank Capital Market.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Phil. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my question. I had a question on the backlog commentary. I think you said for Electron it was up 14%. Is that year-on-year or is that relative to the end of March?
That's year-on-year, Phil. So it's kind of consistent with where we need to be to get 10% EBITDA improvement. But it's compared to June last year.
How much of that backlog within Electron is longer lead time item versus shorter lead time item in terms of how that goes? I'm just trying to gauge how much of Electron's business you get on spot relative to coming out of that backlog.
You know, typically our backlog gives us good visibility into about one quarter. So I would say almost everything will ship within the second half, but this gives us visibility into half of the second half.
Okay. I appreciate that. And then on the cost actions, I appreciated the color there in terms of wanting to improve productivity. The first half of this year really saw a sizable increase in operational expenses relative to last year. I think they were up 6% on an adjusted basis on our numbers while sales were down. Can you talk about where you saw the inflation in the business and then some of the steps you'll take to mitigate and reduce OpEx moving forward?
Yeah, so I do feel that that's something where we can control our own destiny, and we will be taking quite a bit of action going forward to make sure our costs are lower in line with our revenue. Some of the actions have already started, and some are going to progress as we go through the rest of the quarter. In the first half, there were some one-time charges just associated with CEO transition, but even ignoring that, it was higher than it should have been. So we do see that as an opportunity, and that gives us greater confidence in pulling levers if we see any weakness in the revenue.
Terrific. And then lastly for me, go ahead.
Now, it's going at the end of Q3, so once I've had a little bit more time, you know, we probably can get you a little bit more detail than some numbers on that. Just too early for us to have any numbers.
I appreciate that. And then lastly for me on the defense side, sounds like the non-military heater meal business is getting better based on some of the comments you made with the flares and the decontam kits. Any sense on how much, you know, incremental revenue or incremental, call it growth, relative to last year's second half we should anticipate in some of that? And then sub-question to that is, are you seeing any change in the relationship with Wellman Fansteel in terms of their workout scenario? Thanks.
So on the first part regarding defense orders, you know, we are at this stage convinced that last year was more of an anomaly, probably driven by just spending freeze in defense as, you know, due to elections and other activities in U.S. So we do expect the orders to get back to more of a normal level, which would be our 2014-15 run rate, and that would be double digits higher than where we were last year in 2016. We don't see any, hiccups to that trend, and besides what we have in the order backlog, just for quoting activity is quite strong, and we see the sales pipeline to be pretty strong as well.
Again,
from a numbers your second question, I'm not sure if I understood that fully, Phil. So could you repeat that one on the steel? Okay, Phil, maybe we can take that offline when we catch up later today. With that, operator, are there any further questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no further questions. An encore recording of this conference call will be available in about 2 hours. Telephone numbers to access the recording will be available on the Luxfer website at www.luxfer.com. Thank you for joining us today. This concludes the Luxfer conference call.